Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Looking forward to having you join in the dialogue and discussion today. Right after our monologue, we're going to be introducing our very special guest. We'll be talking about some political issues and the candidates running for a office on the state level here in the state of Florida. Looking forward to having you join in dialogue and discussion, asking questions to the candidate, as well as joining in the dialogue and discussion on the issue that we're speaking about today. We'll be talking about salt and light. Salt and light, perhaps you're aware of the greatest directive found in the scripture today, where the Lord Jesus says to the church, these are his words, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. Matthew 5:13-15. But what does it mean? Is it optional? Is it a command? Are we, as Christians, as conservative Christians, as churches and pastors, are we truly salt and light today? What does it mean? What are the connotations? How does it affect us? How should that affect our lives? Should we be involved in the political movement? Should we seek out and assist and vote for candidates? What does God's Word say about all of these things? What's happening in our nation today? What if we, as Christians, what if we were to all be obedient to the Scripture and be salt and light? What difference would it make? What difference could it make in the preservation of our foundation of a Judeo-Christian nation? We'll be talking about that with our candidate today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, first of all, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to direct our footsteps. It should be the light unto our pathway. Ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that is despised. It is hated and rejected in society today. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel titled 1984. Orwell made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be no recognition whatsoever in the, as the truth of the Word of God, where the Scripture is very, very clear about truth and its lasting stand. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, we stand on the truth of the Word of God. We ought not to worry about it dissipating or being diluted or changed in any fashion that will have eternal consequences. But the problem is today, ladies and gentlemen, in our society, there's a hatred, there's a rejection of the truth of the Word of God in particular. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made such a powerful statement. Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me commend truth to you. And the truth book is none other than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole. I'm told it's about 165 feet in the air. It's got Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. You can find that flagpole to the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly environment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its employees and their families to worship in the house of God with the children of God as God intended it for the family. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview and see what God does as far as placing you in the home, in the family of Tools for Time. They're located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, ladies and gentlemen. 11291 Old San Augustine Road, the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me set the stage for where we're going today in our dialogue and discussion and our interview with a very special candidate. Candidate running for District 14, the Florida House of Representatives, one that I believe will be the winning candidate, one that I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do, placing her in office. But before we get to that introduction and our dialogue and discussion with her on that, let me remind you that we're charged with the responsibility as Christians to be salt and light. Salt and light. It's not said in the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. It's not given to us as an option. It's not given to us as something we can pick and choose. It is something that is factual if you're actually a child of God. If you're actually saved, Jesus says ye are. Didn't say you may be or you can opt to be. It says ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But ladies and gentlemen, he goes on to say, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith it shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ladies and gentlemen, this text is speaking of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's speaking about the church and what we're to be in society. And today, ladies and gentlemen, is the church, I don't believe, is being salt and light. I believe that there is a failure to be the salt and light in society. And as a result of that, there's major, major, major harm and danger in our society. I believe we as the church, we as Christian, we hold the key to changing, dynamically changing, dramatically changing the society in which we're living in. But rather than that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid most churches have cowered to the demands of the socialist Marxist agenda in our world. I'm looking at an article that says, Franklin Graham's warning, progressive Christianity can send a person to hell. Decision Magazine on the front cover said that very statement. Progressive Christianity is something that can send a person to hell. The belief structure adopted by many leftist churches, now I'm amazed. I've said these things for years. I'm simply amazed that a renowned pastor as Franklin Graham would be willing to say so. I'm thankful that he does. He says, the belief structure adopted by many leftist churches around the globe neglects the fundamental issues of God's justice. How a holy and just God deals with sinful and wicked men. So the real ultimate danger is that progressive Christianity can send a person to hell. And the article further states this. I would say the exact same warning applies today to add to the advocates of progressive Christianity. They deceitfully promote and proclaim what I believe is clearly a different gospel, which is really not a gospel at all, Graham says. The problem, he explained, is that progressive Christianity denies the divinity and the divinely inspired authoritative truth of the Bible as it intersects with facets of life. For example, although Scripture clearly says that marriage is between one man and one woman, proponents of the progressive Christianity twist and distort the truth of the Word of God on sexuality, focusing on such nonsensical trends as gender identity. He continued by saying, quote, they deny God's distinction of the sexes and instead invent their own misguided standards, unguided by the Word of God. The degrading culture influences that embrace such movements as gay marriage have more sway on the beliefs than the Bible does in progressive churches, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, therein lies the problem, in my most humble opinion, that allows us to be sinking deeper into the quagmire of immoral, ungodly, unholy culture in which we find ourselves in. Very few churches today will stand for truth and take a stand and cease to embrace the immoral culture that we're living in. Christians, even pastors, need to take a stand today against the moral cesspool that's widely, rapidly undermining our Judeo-Christian foundations. And in Psalms 11:3, the scripture is very clear, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the dangers that's before us. And as such, we need to make sure that we'll go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God and become involved in the culture in which we're living in. There's so many that have become so heavenly-minded, they're no earthly good in relationship to deciding what needs to be done in the culture. And I believe it starts, ladies and gentlemen, at the pulpits. I believe the pulpits hold the key to what happens in our great nation. I believe it's the pastors in the pulpit that can stand and speak the truth in love. If you're speaking the truth, many times a person says it's not loving. Truth generally convicts. Therefore, there's a rejection and a rebellion against truth. But we need to stand on it. And that doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, simply because we're heavenly citizens, that our citizenship ultimately and eternally is in heaven, that we ought not to be concerned about what's happening in our world today. The number of Christians and pastors in the culture in which we're living in that have the philosophy and the attitude that we're not supposed to be involved in the political element. But God gives us an election guide, as I call it, God's election guide. We need to be more and more concerned about this because we're in an election cycle for the next 2 years, this year and in 2024, election cycle. And there'll be more and more disinformation. We'll talk about a disinformation board later in this broadcast. But in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21, Scripture says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God. That's the key, fearing God. Men of truth, standing for truth, hating covetousness, that is not seeking the office because of gravis money and greed. And place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. Ladies and gentlemen, that was God's instructions in relationship to what needed to be done for there to be a proper society. And it goes back to the fact that Moses' father-in-law saw that Moses could not handle all that he was trying to handle himself. And God gave instructions for Moses and for what should be done in setting up a system where there could be the consultation and the authorization of those that are leading to make the determinations and the decisions. And this is what I believe we need to talk about on today's broadcast and what we're doing. We're noticing a decaying of our society. We're watching the Sodomite, Marxist, Socialist, Communist movement undermining and destroying the morals and ethics and the values of our kids in the public school system. We're watching that take place, ladies and gentlemen, across America. We're watching today the liberals cheering on that one that leaked the document out of the Supreme Court. We'll talk about that today and other things as we interview our very special guest. I'm delighted, ladies and gentlemen, to have with us on the broadcast today, very special lady, La Sierra Masselin. La Sierra is the candidate for the Florida House of Representatives, District 14. La Sierra, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to our discussion and what God will have for our listeners, what he has in store for us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for having me yet again. I do appreciate it. And I must say that monologue really stirred me very well. So I'm definitely ready to say what I need to say today.
I'm ready. I am thankful for you, lady, and I'm thankful for your sweet spirit and your relationship to the Lord and what God has you on track for doing. But since many, if not most of our listeners are not aware of that, let me ask you to take a few minutes, introduce yourself, and let our listeners know who you are, what you're doing, and your motivation behind it. And with that, on the heels of that elongated, multiple-faceted question, share with our listeners during the course of your opening statements why you feel it's necessary for you, a Christian lady, to be involved in the political arena.
Sure, absolutely. So my name is La Sierra Masselin. I am a wife. I'm a mother. I'm an entrepreneur. I am an independent insurance broker here in Jacksonville, Florida. I am running for the seat of District 14, state representative, here on the northwest of Jacksonville. And I feel the need completely because I'm a woman of God. It is my right. It's my God-given right to be sure that I'm in authority, right? Because simply it needs to be done. I think we've all sat back and we've all seen what our country and our nation has endured over the course of several years, and more importantly, the last couple of years with the entire pandemic and all of such as that came with that. It's a dire need. Our nation, as Dr. Youngblood has so beautifully expounded on in his monologue, our nation is under attack. More importantly, the word of God is under attack. They are truly trying to get rid of the word, which has kept us, has kept our nation blessed and strong. And that's a problem for me. I'm here to set the record straight. I'm here to get rid of any and every person that is coming against my Lord and Savior. And I just want to be sure that I expose the enemy for who he is. So here
very
I
well
am
stated, spot on and very well focused on the subject that I believe is at hand that we need to recognize. La Sierra, you're familiar with the fact, and perhaps our listeners are also, that we're in a society today where in our schools there, I call them governmentally controlled schools. I didn't just start calling them that recently. My wife can tell you for the past 50 years, I've called these public schools the governmentally controlled schools. And in the governmentally controlled schools, there's a mindset of indoctrination and somehow, some way, changing the mindset, brainwashing, as I believe best could be called. And in doing so, it's destroying the Judeo-Christian foundations by the brainwashing and indoctrination, and it's destroying the morals, ethics, and the values of our students in the public school system. Do you see that as a problem? As one that's stepping onto the scenes of a political endeavor, do you see that as a problem? Do you see that as something that the parents that are listening should be concerned about? And why would you see it as a problem?
I absolutely see it as a major problem. It's a major malfunction that our school board system has always done. I even look back on history and I see the same trap, the same ensnare to uneducate or to leave where you don't have a clue of what's going on, so you're vulnerable to the government. They're just doing the same thing that they've always been built to do, which is keep us ignorant, okay? Keep our children ignorant, keep us as a people ignorant and reliant upon the government. Now they're after our children. My God, they are so low, and they have the audacity to attack the mentality and the mindsets of our kids. Parents should be completely absurd. They should be completely outraged. There should be a fire down under every parent, mother, and father to snatch their kids out of these indoctrinated schools. These schools, they're teaching critical race theory. They're teaching our kids they can be a gender, depending on how they feel, whatever gender, they can go back and forth. They don't need our permission. They're teaching them to be queer and just to do basically everything against the knowledge of God, which is a major issue. It will not fly under my watch, under the people of God, those that are listening, that are true believers, that believe that the Lord God and his word is what's infallible. You can't, it's, the Bible says, not one jot nor one tittle of God's word is going to fall to the ground. These folks have a major issue and problem on their hand, not only with the people of God, but with God himself. The Bible also goes on to let us know, not when you touch the children, he said, leave my children alone. It's best for you to wrap a millstone around your neck than to touch his little ones. We have really just gotten beside ourselves. We have taken our matters in our own hands. We think our mere suggestions and opinions override the law of God. And I have a problem with that, Dr. Youngblood. And that's Amen. Why I'm running for state. Yes, sir.
Amen. In fact, you were paraphrasing Matthew 18:6, for one that will harm the least of these, the children he's speaking of, and it is caused to stumble and fall. It's the Greek word scandalon, to cause the least of these, the children he's speaking of, that love the Lord, to stumble and fall. It's better the millstone be put around his neck, cast in the deepest sea. I think we need to tell Joe Biden that, because Joe Biden is the key one that is promulgating and pushing the transsexual, the transgender, the gender fluid mentality, and he is pushing that into the schools. And La Sierra, you're familiar with it, I'm sure, and so I'll say this not just for your benefit, but for the listeners. One of the, out of about 10 major points of the Marxist, Karl Marx agenda in Marxism, one of them was to divide the society, and that's happening today through the critical race theories you touched on, and the critical race theory is saying that racism is the cause of every problem and every situation, and I believe that that is using a race divisiveness to try to promulgate and push the socialist Marxist agenda through the Democratic Party, trying to make the Democratic Party be the one that says, I'm going to come and be your savior, rather than it being rather than our looking at it from the parental standpoint, that we need to let the Lord Jesus Christ be the one that's enthroned and not the Democratic Party. Speak to that issue as to where our allegiance should be. Should it be in a party affiliation, or should it be with the truth of the Word of God? And tell us something about the party affiliation that you have.
Yes, sir. It's our allegiance should be completely as believers, first and foremost. You have to really ask yourself, are you a believer for real? Are we talking more about the natural state of man and the natural state of our world and not mixing it with the spiritual? Because the Bible teaches us it's first the natural, then the spiritual. If you're not going and speaking on both, then you're missing half the story. I'm running as no party affiliation. It wasn't done intentionally, but God knew just what I needed to do. He has the plan, and I'm just walking in it. My allegiance is to my God alone, not to my skin color, not to a party, whether it's Republican, no party affiliation, and definitely not a Democrat, okay? It is to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's who he is. He was here before the foundation of the world, and he will continue to be here, even after I'm off the scene. So therefore, we need to, as believers, really examine ourselves and really determine what we're all about. Are we, you know, so much about the Republican Party, or just walking around saying we're just conservatism or conservative? We really need to check ourselves, and we, as I said before, examine ourselves to see if we're really found in the faith. And we do that based on the Word of God. Does our life line up? Are we voting? Are we praying? Are we asking for discernment? Are we operating in action? Because the Bible also says faith without works is dead. So we can't just have faith. We can't just pray about stuff and so we're just going to pray. We're just going to pray and don't get up and put action with it, because the Bible so profoundly says one without the other is dead. That's huge to me. The Lord really revealed the word dead to me, something that's cold, lifeless, that, you know, smells, you know, it's like it's dead. So in other words, even with your actions, you might say, well, you know what, I'll throw money at the situation. That's not even good enough. God says, put your works with your faith or it's lifeless. And that's, as believers, that's what we should be doing.
Absolutely. And lest I forget it, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you have questions you would like to ask, dialogue and discussion with La Sierra about her candidacy, then give us a call, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to have your dialogue and discussion. La Sierra, perhaps some may not fully understand. The candidate that you're running against, without giving any identification, tell us why you differ, how you differ, and what would be the difference in your candidacy and who you are and what you would do versus what that person has done and what they would do.
Absolutely. So right now I am at the general election. I will be on the ballot on November the 8th. Currently there are Democrats that will be in the primaries in August. So whoever comes out of that will face me in November. So based on obviously the party, they are subject or objective to abortion. They're subject and objective to that which is, first of all, just plain old truth, and that's just godly. I have a problem with, you know, the whole abortion subject line, where they feel as though, you know, abortion should be a my body, my choice issue. That's a major factor for me. The word of God said, clearly lets us know that it is murder. Obviously the Lord is in charge of the children and the people that come to the womb, and that come into the world. So that's a major factor. The other issue is that funds have not been allocated in this district properly. That is huge. This area has been underserved and neglected for decades. Right now, we only have four high schools in this area that's trying to accommodate about 6,000 kids. They are overrun, and just the teachers are worn out, and the classrooms are overpacked. There's an issue there. We haven't had a high school in 32 years in this area, and Clay County is getting about four of them next year. The beginning of next year, they're getting four additional schools the beginning of next year. So I would love to vote and create laws once in office to just get us a high school. That may sound so minute and small to some, but that's huge in this area. It's various things such as infrastructure and just good grocery stores that this area has just been overlooked and just, you know, basically been turned a blind eye to, that I will absolutely make sure gets done. The funds will be properly allocated, and just transparency will be there. So that would be something that I would do that would be completely opposite to my opponent.
Yes. In fact, I think our listeners need to understand, La Sierra, that your opponent happens to be a socialist, Marxist, liberal Democrat. And for all of the years that individual has been in office, and that district being held by the socialist Marxist Democrat, those things, the situation has declined. The conditions have declined as a result of the mindset and what is being pushed out of that mindset of the socialist Marxist Democrat Party. And so I'm thankful to hear it's refreshing, and I pray that our listeners will listen up. We're going to continue this dialogue and discussion after our top of the hour news break, but I'm going to introduce a couple of thoughts that we'll talk about. We've talked about the school system. I want to talk about, after our top of the hour news break, La Sierra, something about what's happening with the Supreme Court, how that then would relate to what you do as a Congress lady in Tallahassee, and how we need to have those that will take a stand that will lead. Maybe our listeners need to understand, would you consider yourself in line with the ethics and the values and the thoughts and the political agenda in relationship to where you will be and what you'll be doing, what would be called Trump mindset or the Trump doctrine? Would that be all right to consider it in that fashion?
Well, you know what? I like Trump. I really like Trump. I appreciate what he did in office. But as I said before, my allegiance is to God alone. So you can call me a Jesus freak. You can call me a godly woman. You can call me all those things that pertain to the King, the one that is my strong tower and is consistent, never changes. Can't lie, can't fail, you know. So that's what you can call me. But that's the doctrine I'm going with, the word of God.
Let's hear a hold on for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, don't change your dial. We'll be right back right after the news.
The Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.